coming up. We're ready to have a hulking good time on today's episode of the Universal Edition. So, live from the Bob Varley studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Universal Edition of the Diz Unplugged. This is episode 95 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation, as well as many other destinations. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I am your host, as every week, Craig S. Williams. Will not give you my middle name, you don't deserve it.
Is your mom in the chat room? Can we ask her?
No, she can't figure out how to work the YouTube chat, so she watches, but...
She just sits back. She just sits back,
yeah. So you'll never know. But today I am joined alongside Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Who is just a floating head, floating neck and head. Well, then again.
We should have got the green screen.
It's fine. It'll be all good. It'll be all good. And then also in the back, engineer of the day, Oliver Green.
That's me. Hello, everyone. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
How's it going?
It's good. It's going good.
Yeah.
Apart from my, I'm not made up my mind whether I like this haircut yet or not, so I'll let the people in the chat decide. What do you think, Rhino?
I don't want to talk about the neo-Nazi movement that is alive and well.
Okay, over to you, Craig.
You know what else is funny? Sorry to kick us off. If you're watching video, can you cut to your shot?
Yep.
Okay, so you were just sitting in a way that it looks like the heart is almost you're wearing a bustier. You're wearing a corset back there.
Yep.
Just leave it to Oliver.
Wow. We are really impressing the people who are listening to this via iTunes or audio download today. Wow.
Oh, yeah, we did two visuals in a row. Sorry about that, gang. Here's an audio treat for you. I don't have anything loaded up. I'm sorry. This is where those cues would come in handy.
It would. It would. Yeah. Remember, just hashtag PrizeMatron. Send it to Pete Werner if you want to see the PrizeMatron being used on our show.
Starting to save little audio clips of us putting them in a thing.
Of course, we don't want it to like actually give anything away because we're going to be greedy like that, but we just want it to add to our bizarre nature.
We
want to
throw you for the loop and we're going to use the PrizeMatron to play a sound effect.
Yep.
Nobody wins.
Exactly. Now, we have a very big episode coming up for you today. Actually, it's not that big.
Is it?
I don't really want to lie. But a little bit of things to talk about, including we're going to go over The Incredible Hulk, which just officially reopened today.
Ooh.
So maybe your resolution will be this year that you're going to ride The Incredible Hulk coaster.
When we get to that resolution episode, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll have to find out. But... we are going to go a little bit into that just because I got to go on a little bit of a tour of that yesterday, seeing the queue, getting on the ride itself.
Yeah.
Very exciting. We're going to discuss a little bit of Krampus information. So it hasn't been officially announced by Halloween Horror Nights yet or anything or Universal. Not officially, but... we'll get into that whenever we get there, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about other stuff. Maybe we'll throw in a little Potter talk.
We could always
do that, just because I know you're on a big Potter kick right now after the cursed child, and...
That's what the bookstore, when I called the bookstore to make sure that I could still get a book at midnight, the recording was like, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. Okay. Can you pronounce it both ways? Cursed and cursed?
Oh, don't look at me. I pronounce everything incorrectly, so...
How's that beesk treating you from last night?
The beesk.
Oliver ordered the lobster, or the crab beesk.
It's old, Taylor's old as time. Beauty and the beesk.
Beauty and the
beesk. Yeah.
Meal as old as time.
Fantastic. fantastic. Yeah, so basically this is just going to be a fun little what's happening right now kind of show. Lots of different things going on, so we'll just go over the brief highlights, and if we feel like ending it early, well, we've ended early.
Well, for people who hate when we get off track and the entertainment thing, sorry, that's what this episode's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome.
Lots of entertainment. Really, we're just counting down when we can finish this so we can continue talking about Stranger Things.
Yes. We are going to talk a lot about that Stranger Things. Hey, you know what's funny too? I'm going to talk about the Hulk on Dizpop too.
Oh.
He's come up and he's had quite a month, to be honest with you.
Yes. Cursed.
That cursed Hulk.
Cursed. Yeah. So, as always, before we jump into it, do we have any housekeeping?
Housekeeping. Oh, that's, see, you know, the Prisma Trauma would be great? Right there, you could do the Tommy Boy. Yeah. Housekeeping.
I just want to give a shout out, and I feel like I'm really unprepared because I should have got the person's name, but I'm sure they'll be watching. Whoever made the video of the Universal Fanfare thing last week, thank you. That's made my week. I've watched it multiple times. It was absolutely genius, so thank you very much.
Actually,
for that.
Yeah, do you want to... let's try to cue that up here.
Keep filling the air for a while.
So yeah, this was actually really special for anyone who did not watch last week or listen last week. We had this really bizarre, strange break-off section where we decided
how we got there.
Sing. Well, I think it had to do something with the Minions, because we were doing like the Minions take on the Universal.
Yeah, and then we were like, that's not how it sounds. And then we all ended up, like, you cued us back, and then we all went in.
Yeah.
We just love, we're all big fans of a cappella music here. We thought we'd give it a shot.
Exactly. Except for the fact that we all hate a cappella. So who was nice enough to put it all together?
Whilst I've got
Was it Junk Drawer?
It was, it's by a channel called Disney Magic, which I believe they go by the same name on the boards, I think, because they posted it on there. And I know they tweeted it to us under that name as well. So
fantastic.
Disney Magic.
Okay.
Here goes Hit nothing. It. Ooh, wait there. Got to go in full screen. I'm so unprepared.
Oh. That's my favorite. Was that you?
Yeah, I did the high bit.
Yeah, you sound like Ralph from The Simpsons. Like the fox opening for the movie when he comes out and he stands in the O and he's like, he does the fox intro in that same manner. That's what that reminds me of more than the Minions.
That's impossible.
Impossible.
So, yes, thank you for putting that together. If anyone else wants to continue to put together our antics and shenanigans all together into something funny like that, feel free to. Hey, we might even play it on the show because, well, that just happened. So,
yeah.
It did.
That was a thing. Feeling frisky. We don't know what we're going to do. So I do want to throw in one little bit of housekeeping before we go. Next week, we will most likely not be having a live episode for everyone who tunes in.
Yeesh.
Just because Rhino will not be in town.
Yep.
He is going out of town, not saying where.
Oh, I was going to.
No, we're not saying where, just to respect his privacy, to be able to travel without feeling like he needs to speak to people and such.
I'm probably gonna like vlog the whole trip anyway, so yeah, probably. They'll probably know where
you
I know am.
The weird thing is, if you actually said where he was going, everyone would just be like, oh, they're joking anyway, that can't be really what he's doing. So
Rhino's he's going to Los Angeles, Pasadena, to do the real Big Bang tour, so it'll be a good time.
I'm not doing the Big Bang tour, but I am going to Pasadena. I don't know if you were kidding or you remembered that I'm actually going to Pasadena.
No, going to do a tour of all the filming locations they use for Big Bang Theory.
Well, I got to at least find Doc Brown's house.
Mm. Yeah, that has nothing to do with it. But yeah, so you'll be traveling next week, so we'll probably just have a regular episode go up on Thursday. Hopefully we'll be able to pre-record one, so that way you get to be a part of it. So that'll be interesting.
Be nice.
But with all of that being said, I think we are going to jump into the first thing that I want to talk about today, and that is Krampus.
Oh, see, I thought you went the other way. Okay.
You thought I was going to... Didn't we discuss before that we were going to go
Krampus first? I was only half listening.
No, Krampus first. It was definitely Krampus first.
Yeah, I definitely thought we said Krampus
I was left first. In suspense by not listening.
That's fantastic. You're allowed to do that. Whatever you want to do. So, just earlier today... Gosh, I feel terrible now because I can't remember who was the first person to figure it out. I'm going to because I want to make
figure
sure...
Figure it out. He's not Rhino.
I want to make sure they get it.
Sorry, I apologize.
Is this what you do whenever I'm not paying attention?
That wasn't intentional. That was, I'm so sorry.
You screw things up whenever I'm not paying attention.
There you go. Much better.
There he is. He's Craig.
He's Craig Williams.
Producer. His mom would have got on you for that one.
Producer, thank
you.
Host.
Thank Chris would have got you.
So the first person that I saw it tweet out from was LeDrew's Brew on Twitter, at Drubov. And he found the article from thehollywoodnews.com that purported that the Krampus would be coming. Just Krampus, not the Krampus. I don't know why I'm sounding like an old person. The good old Krampus.
You found it on the Twitter.
Yeah. No, he reported he found the Hollywood News reporting that apparently at a Halloween Horror Nights kind of conference thing in the UK earlier in the week, they said what was coming and they had to keep some things secret. But apparently today they were about to announce this. So I know yesterday the website Orlando Informer actually, they found some coding. I think it was on the Universal site that had in the code, it had Krampus in there. So they kind of figured it was coming. And then this comes today. And now we think that it will be a Halloween Horror Nights house. So
I heard a different rumor how they found out. I think you're right, but I heard it got they leaked the park, like the Halloween Horror Nights, like some sort of map.
Oh yeah,
so
that sorry,
a map.
That's where it originally came from. They dug Orlando Informer dug into the code for that. And apparently that's where they found the word Krampus in there. Oh. And that's where it all got put together. Thank you. It was a very busy day.
It'll be Krampus
yesterday.
The movie, though, right? Because when I was in Hollywood last year, they...
That's Dark Christmas. The scare zone that they did. Okay. Dark Christmas.
There was a Krampus character in there.
There was a Krampus character. It was...
Krampus is a thing.
It was the absolute best thing. And I'm sorry, for everyone out there who doesn't know what Krampus is, here's a little bit of an idea of what the Krampus is like.
Lining of the stomach of the
oh, judgment is nigh, for the Belschnickel is I.
Yes, he is finally nigh.
I am nigh.
Here we are, children. Come and get your lollipop. Lollipops, come along, my little one.
Yeah, so we couldn't actually secure the rights to any Krampus clips to really show off what that was. So that was more or less the Belschnickel from The Office and the Child Catcher from everyone's favorite movie, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. You put those two characters together, you essentially have
throwing
Krampus,
a snowman, and you've got Krampus,
who is a half goat, half demon that punishes children on Christmas if they misbehave. A very Austrian, Germanic tradition going way, way back. So
I like the idea. I think it's good. I love the whole character of Krampus, so I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, and of course the house is going to be based on the movie Krampus that was released, was it last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I
thought it was a few years back.
No, I think it was 2015 year. Because I'm pretty sure I worked here and it came out like I went home and I like missed it. Like I somehow missed it in the journey somehow.
Yeah, I think it was 2015 because it just came out on Blu-ray a little bit ago, maybe like 3 or 4
yeah,
months
it
ago.
Was definitely last Christmas.
So,
last Christmas.
Krampus was the story of a family who's all together on, it was a holiday horror comedy. Everyone's all together on Christmas and, I won't give away too much of the plot details. You really should go and watch it. It's made by Michael Dougherty. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. He's also behind the fantastic Halloween movie Trick or Treat, which is like one of my favorite Halloween movies out there.
X-Men 2.
It's a good fun holiday horror comedy. There's, you know, it's not the best thing ever made. So I don't want people to like get their expectations up, but a great cast with Adam Scott in there, leading things off as the leading male, and David Koechner just throwing in his little bits of humor all the time, you know.
Toni Collette's in this movie too.
Toni Collette. I think it's great. I know we talked about Horror Nights a while back, and I was saying that, you know, we all thought that this house was coming. It was a Legendary Pictures movie that was distributed by Universal. So it kind of just fit the mold for something that would be perfect for them to adapt to Halloween Horror Nights. We did have Dark Christmas as a scare zone last year and the year before at Horror Nights Hollywood.
Hollywood, yeah.
Which was out of this world, set up in the London area of
that London area has a little bit of Christmas theming already, right? Throughout the year or no? Did it not?
I can't remember.
I thought there was like one of the storefronts makes it.
Oh, they
look
have
like
the,
Christmas
the one like
way.
Ski,
yeah,
type.
I
thing
think that's what I was thinking
there.
Of.
And it was set up perfectly to be a house, and I think it's going to translate beautifully as long as they keep the comedy aspect to it. And if you've heard me talk about stuff on the show before, you know one of my favorite houses that I've ever done for Horror Nights was whenever they did the HR Blood and Guts holiday house years ago, and they just put a clever twist on all the holidays, making it goofy but scary at the same time. And I think that's exactly what this house is going to be. And I said it before and I'll say it again, I hope they just keep it all the way through Christmas time. Just keep running the house. It fits in with both holidays.
That'd be cool.
I feel that this is like, because in Hollywood, they've got the house that's all year round, right?
The Walking Dead.
Don't you think this would be a good fit? I know it's Christmas themed, but it feels like something they could keep all year round, because like they have the Christmas stores all year. I feel like this could become very iconic, and if they were to keep a house all year round, this is a potential for that.
I don't know. They could probably try and do
a Walking Dead again.
I think they could definitely get this. It'll be open on September along with Horror Nights. If they could do September to January 1st or whenever they finish up the holidays this year, I think they could get some decent legs out of it. And I think it could retain its popularity as long as it's a good house. You know, if it's a crappy house to begin with, which I don't expect it to be, then I think they can really go through. So here's the blurb that the Hollywood News was given to describe it. I'm going to put on my fun reading voice for this. The dead of winter sets the stage for the terror that's about to unfold one cold, dank, and dreary Christmas Eve as the fabled anthropomorphic half-goat, half-demon horned creature emerges to terrorize those devoid of holiday spirit. In scenes lifted from the film, guests will navigate the dysfunctional Engel family home to encounter the evil ancient spirit of Krampus, the dark shadow of Saint Nicholas, and his band of dark elves and sinister gingerbread men who caused the family to fight to see the light of day.
That was a real treat for me. That was great in the headphones, I've got to say.
Thank you very much,
Craig.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be one of the best parts of this house. Is that
I thought you were going to say this episode.
If you haven't seen the movie, it's not just Krampus isn't the only thing. It's actually a lot of the characters that wreak havoc in the movie are all these little side terror.
Little gingerbread guy.
The gingerbread people are a part of it.
Yeah.
So I believe they were in the trailer. They were actually.
Yeah, they're in the trailer. That's how I know they're there.
On it. There's more creatures than just that, though. It is absolutely ridiculous, but it's good. I am very, very pumped for it. I hope they...
Is this the last non-original property?
I would say this is probably going to be the last. Once they announce it, which I think I read someone earlier thinking that they're going to probably announce it around 2 o'clock today, potentially. the official announcement coming from Universal. Once it's announced, I'm assuming that that's going to be the last one, and then the rest of the announcements will be the original ones that they come up with. Then that should be all given to us in a nice big bulk, which I like.
I know Christmas time. We're going to talk about Stranger Things for DizPop, but I want to ask your opinion about this.
Yeah.
I was watching it, and I thought, man, wouldn't this be cool if they did a Halloween Horror Nights with this? Like, you go into Joyce's house, and, you know, she's there with the axe hitting the wall. Mm-hmm. The lights are all up. The Christmas lights are up, flickering the messages. And then when you come out of the house, you're in the under, whatever it's called. The under? Mm-hmm. And then you, like, you know, it's got the soot kind of raining down, and all the cars are there, and then that creature's running around, and, you know, you've got that nest thing you need to crawl through to get through there. I was like, man, this could be a really, really cool, really cool Halloween Horror Nights house. That's one of those, like, unexpected properties.
Yeah, it would be prettier, they think, than it would be
scary.
But who knows? There's probably enough there, but I'm sure that it's. I will see that one becoming a Stranger Things. People are going to say, "Oh, we need to see a house like that." The same way they've been saying it about American Horror Story now.
That's still like the rumor that one of those is coming, but it's not. Like I saw a thing literally like 2 days ago, and they're like, "Oh, this will be the Halloween Horror Night house that they're talking about," and I'm like, "I don't think that's happening this year."
No way. They wouldn't have. I mean, this has only been out for so long. If it even made it next year, that would still be a stretch. I don't think...
I'm talking about American Horror Story.
Oh, American Horror Story.
Yeah, I was saying about somebody saying American Horror Story.
Yeah, no, I didn't. Sorry. I think that's way too much. That would be way too much to start securing, especially being with FX.
Yeah.
I feel like that would get really cloudy. But then again, I don't know enough about intellectual properties and securing rights to really make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
No expert. So... very pumped about it. Hopefully we'll be able to talk more, and we will get all those because September is nigh but upon us.
What's September what? Do we know yet?
16th?
Will we just be getting back from a cruise and then going on that?
Yeah, we'll be back for a couple days at that point.
Cool. I'm excited for that. That's like our get back to shore and then go that same week to go to this thing. That'll be a lot of fun.
You know what they say, all aboard.
And the Halloween party will start too. Man, we got that's going to be busy. September gets, you get into the holidays like this down here. Like it'll be nothing all summer. And then all of a sudden you are just launched into everything. And it's just nonstop.
Hit the ground running straight off that cruise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Running out the dock. It is the
season to be merry.
Who's Mary? Isn't that from a film?
No, you butchered it.
It's Grace. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's like he's trying to take two different ones and put it together. It's Mary. Well, that's my name.
It's Mary. Can't say that line.
We'd get NC-17, obviously, as soon as you curse once.
I'm not sure that I know what you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I'm on board now.
No, I knew that, but that's the Grace part is what I was thinking.
I'll tell you after the show.
Okay. Yeah, we'll explain it to you after the show. Movies. So, with that, let's get into what I think is also exciting. I'm the only one in this room who's written it because... Oh, you went and wrote it too?
Yeah, the other day. I went to IKEA, and on the way back, Spencer was like, we're going to go and ride the Hulk. It's in soft opening. So we ran in, wrote it, and left immediately.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, I should have let you know.
I watched it.
Thank you for telling me.
I still haven't watched it.
I know you did.
For like 10 minutes.
Yeah, very, very quickly. I got to ride it once, and we ran in, ran out, and yeah...
Very good. No, that's perfect. So we'll have two of us talking about it. So in the big news of today is the Incredible Hulk coaster is finally reopened after being down since, oh gosh, I just said it today on the Daily Fix, September 8th, of 2015.
It's September 8th. Really, that's like long. I came to America on a ship. No, I came to America on like the 3rd of September, and I remember it closing almost immediately like when I got here. So it's around that date.
It was...
It's like when I moved to Florida, they immediately closed the Back to the Future ride. And
September 8th, 2015, the Incredible Hulk coaster closed to do a massive, massive update to the attraction. So what they changed is a lot, not the actual layout of the track. The track is completely the exact same layout as it was before. The inversions are where they were, the hills are where they were, everything in terms of that is still the same. However, the track itself was completely replaced. So what that means is it is super smooth right now, and it probably will be hopefully for about the rest of the year, and then maybe a year after that, and then it'll go back to start just jostling. The other things that were updated with it were the actual trains themselves. Got a sleek new design, as we talked about before, with headlights. In case you're riding at night, you really need those headlights. You shouldn't drive without headlights on. Should never do that.
Even if it's one headlight.
On those trains, they added onboard speakers that are playing original music by Patrick Stump of Fall Out Boy fame. You might have heard of him.
Oh, it plays music while you go on the ride?
Yeah, there's now on-ride music.
Oh, that's cool.
That should get you to ride it.
Yeah,
that might also help me. With the trains, they added in two extra rows of seating for...
Plus size?
Luxury guests.
No, because it's really not that. Because
tall people.
It can be anything. Just people who need that little bit extra room.
Big and tall.
Because whenever... Well, no. Because I working at both Dragon Challenge and Forbidden Journey, we had the problems with these seats. So I have had, you know, people who are like 5'3" come in that are like little tiny guys. However, they are so buffed up, they can't get the shoulder harnesses over of their pecs. Yeah.
Oh, so it's like a dimensional, not wide enough.
That's the thing about the seats that... You think it's just for one, but like, so Dragon Challenge, where like with Forbidden Journey, the seats, you only have so much room because you're in the compartment. Mm-hmm. So if you, let's say someone has a bit wider hips, it's very unforgiving because there's not a lot of room for it to move around in there. Whereas you put them on Dragon Challenge, it kind of opens up on the sides, so there's more room for stuff to spill out. But then, like on Forbidden Journey, we found that, you know, you can kind of squeeze the upper body in places a little bit more. Whereas on Dragon Challenge, if you were tight up above, you struggled at times. So I had the ultimate struggle whenever I had to deal with Big Tall and Little Heavy, whenever I had to try to put Shaquille O'Neal onto one of the trains at Dragon Challenge. And that was...
Did you get him on? That man's a giant.
No, I couldn't. He was... His was the height. But it was...
I mean, he's a big guy. Any dimension. Yeah.
I think I've told the story before. One of the only things I still have from that time is this story. But he went to get on, and of course we had to put him on one of the special seats. And so he's trying to pull down himself, and, you know, of course the seatbelt's not coming anywhere close to going in.
Yeah.
And so then I'm like, can I push down? And then someone else is going to put the belt in. Oh, okay, man. So I start pushing down, and he's like, you keep going. And so I start pushing down, and then...
Did he yell Shazam?
He's like, no. And then finally I push as hard as I can, and he just stops, and he like looks me eye to eye, and he said, it's not going to work. So I'm like, oh, okay. And this was probably just a couple weeks after I had become a relief lead. So I was still very new in that position, and to be put into that, I mean, because... That just doesn't happen. No, he was all cool. He just walked away. It was his family that was just going around enjoying everything. He was just saying, you know, if I can give it a shot, I'll give it a shot. But he had the same Forbidden Journey. It wasn't even close. That he had no chance on. I'm sorry, that turned into a 5-minute just off branch about
Shaquille sizes. Giving us the blue chips.
Now the Incredible Hulk has 4 different seats on each train that you have the ability to sit in if you need a little bit of that extra room. So I think that's a great addition to it, as well as the launch mechanism has been changed, and not just the launch mechanism, but also the effects as you're going up the launch. And very, very cool. I was a little upset. They told us yesterday that hopefully we would have like B-roll footage of the ride itself to show off. But apparently that's not quite ready yet. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, too, the entrance and the queue has all been changed, as well as the roar as soon as you're
like
being
that.
Launched out. And so We don't have actual video on ride to show because you're not allowed to have anything else. But we do have a little bit of the exterior of the ride right now, as well as some shots inside the queue and some of the stuff you'll see. So we're going to go ahead and show you that.
Beads.
Bees?
Beads.
Beads?
Job's not on board.
How hard can it be? Bzzz. We'll see who brings in more honey.
Oh, wow. So
change the channel there at the end.
Oliver screwed that one up in the middle there.
Oh, come on. So, I'm doing so well in this episode. That one was not
how
me.
Did that even happen? No, so quite a bit of changes from the last iteration of the Incredible Hulk coaster that we had. And needless to say, I was extremely impressed with every little bit of it.
Yeah, my initial impression when I first walked in there to like look at that new queue was I was expecting it to look a lot different. It's still structurally, obviously, it's the same, and everything inside, you've got like the gamma reactor thing in the middle, but everything's been updated, so it is a huge, huge update, even though when you go in there initially, it's not, you know, immediate to your attention that everything's been updated. It's only when you start to look closer, you start to see the smaller details. So, yeah, the queue itself, very, very impressive. I like the new screens that they've added around the outside. I think it sells it. And the whole steam thing as well, with the audio where it mixes it in, and the reaction with the gamma reactor or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Very good. It definitely builds the excitement. And in comparison to what used to be there, it's, you know, it's worlds better. Yeah. So
I mean, it starts on the outside. So now as soon as you come in, as you saw in the video, if you watched it, which I'm sure you did. You were just here. If you skipped over that, what were you thinking?
But they could be listening.
You know, if you're listening, it's not like you're just imagining all this stuff in your head. It's not like they're going and looking at all a slideshow that goes along with this as well, too. But it all starts with that new marquee that we've been seeing images of for the longest time. The Hulk holding those two pieces, the piece of track with the old Hulk car on it. Just the Hulk car on it. It's mesmerizing to see up close once you actually get there. So I know we've been seeing it kind of behind the walls for a couple weeks here now, and Rhino and I and Oliver have all seen it, and it is,
yes,
it's a doozy. So I think it's much better than the flat Incredible Hulk sign that was just there before. This one is going to pull people in, but besides just all that, it's the whole new story that goes along with it too, and the style. So we heard from Thierry Coop and the other designer, the other person from Universal Creative that was kind of in charge of the whole re-enhancement of the Incredible Hulk yesterday during the tour of it. And they, despite the look of it, this is now based out of the 60s version of the Hulk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was it based out of before?
That just 90s.
Cartoon,
it was,
the thing.
It was very 90s Marvel cartoons.
And interesting.
Now they're kind of, and we knew this, that they were going for this aesthetic, at least from all of the walls that they put up during the re-enhancement. It was all 60s Hulk on there. So you kind of had that glimpse that it was going to be like that. But
is he David Banner then?
The visual design of it is very, very modern day.
It's a serious question. They used to call him David Banner.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good blend, because once you do know that little tidbit, you kind of can get that sense of it, that this is classic, but at the same time, it's of this day.
That's what I was about to say. It might be based on like the 50s. You said 50s Hulk?
60s.
60s Hulk. But it's still got a really timeless feel to it. It doesn't feel like the 60s Hulk. And compared to what, you know, was there before with that like 90s cartoon look, it doesn't feel like that at all. This will, if this stands there for the next 10 years, it will feel just as fresh in 10 years' time, you know, as it did the day it opened. Whereas the original one, it always had that expiration date because, you know, animation changes, and that's what it relied on heavily in that queue line with the animation playing. So I think they've been very clever when redesigning it. So
absolutely.
Let me ask you this now then. Do you feel like because of this redesign and the way it looks now there, do you think it's got to ripple down into the next attraction?
No, it absolutely has to.
It's like Spider-Man is really what I'm thinking of. The other attractions there don't have any.
Yeah, with Spider-Man, it just, I think the look of the, once they did the movie in 4K, I know it's still very heavy 90s. However, something about the action, I feel like that the look and the aesthetic in it can still stand on its own just because of the 3D part of it. Because those don't look straight out of like the 90s cartoons.
No, not necessarily.
At all. Not in my opinion, at least. I think there's a, that Spider-Man could stay without really needing that update, but
it's just the line that needs to change.
Just the
Spider-Man
queue,
yeah, the queue, and then it'd be absolutely fine. It'd feel just as up to date as everything else in that area. Same with Doctor Doom as well. There's nothing really that feels, apart from the actual cartoon they're paying.
The queues need changed.
The Doom and the Storm Chaser, those are carnival rides, though. They're not like actual attractions. You know, it's the you go up,
well, that
you drop
not
you down.
That's not a carnival ride.
What are you? Six Flags?
I would say that's a Six Flags ride.
Yeah.
But it's not a carnival ride by any means.
The Storm Chasers could be.
Storm Force Acceleratron.
Storm Jeez, if you're Force not gonna say Acceleratron.
Name, if you're not going to say it right.
The Make Me Vomit it? Ride.
Look, so, I think totally, if they're going to keep that, it just aesthetically these things, but who knows what's going to happen. This is absolutely, Spider-Man really was the first step in kind of throwing in a little bit of a refresher on Marvel. I think now with Hulk, this is, we are serious about it, and it's just going to go from there.
I'm just curious if they'll start like maybe even retheming the whole island, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
they have to.
I'm curious if they'll start with like streets versus the attraction, you know what I mean? Like if they'll start with that plaza area. I mean, they clearly have seen how much money this stuff makes everywhere. Like I wouldn't mind like a restaurant or something over there.
It's not going to be a sudden change. It's not. I don't think they're going to say one day like, okay, we're going to shut down this entire area to redo it. I think they are going to do it piece by piece, just start to integrate it in. Once an attraction, like let's say one of the Storm Force Acceleratron gets the axe, let's say Doctor Doom gets the axe, and at that point, if those go, then I think they have a little bit more room to say, okay, well now we're going to do this entire updating of the entire island if they get that. But assuming that those rides stay open, they just kind of have to do it slowly and gradually, putting this stuff in. In my opinion, then again, I'm not an expert. I don't work for Universal Creative. I have no idea what their plans are. For all I know, they could be making a Shrek land somewhere out there. God, no.
Oh, I really hope not. That'd be that'd be the worst decision.
I know they'll have a lot of waffle stands there if they do.
Make them waffles. Fantastic. The story of the Hulk, since we just got off on a really long
change. I thought you were done with
that. It probably would have been like one of those after. Well, of course, the story is now is that you're going into the labs and they're doing the Hulkification process. And that's
led by
a little
Thaddeus
bit.
Thaddeus Ross?
That's a little bit what you saw. Yeah, General Ross, the Thaddeus.
Thaddeus
Ross.
Thackeray Beans.
And his Hulkification process. So that's, of course, what you would have saw in the video there with the spinning
young lady
device and the young lady. And it's not just that one. There's a couple different characters that have show up. So it shows how different tests. So there's one where it's like a teenage boy that goes through the Hulkification process, and he like actually gets really big and bulky and almost goes on like Hulk level. Whereas, as you saw the lady in the video that we were showing of, that she kind of
she
hulked up a little bit, but not, I mean, little green, little bit of extra muscles, but not like.
So Bruce is just the experiment gone wrong here. Is that the story? Then, like, are you Bruce or are you the experiment?
No. Then we are all volunteers for the Hulkification process. Unfortunately, whereas the ones you see in the video where it's just spinning around and kind of like they're there by choice with us, we get strapped in into the cars. And then the Hulkification process is that's what's happening.
So when he makes the growl, that's you becoming the Hulk. the when he spits you out the...
As far as I could get from the actual story, yes, we hulked out.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's the new tunnel. That's what the audio is inside. Yeah. It's telling you to calm down and... that's what the old one did. It's like the computer generated female voice telling you like you're going through the process essentially.
Yeah. Oh yeah, okay.
So you're going through the process. I mean, I don't understand why it's just one Hulk noise.
Yeah, that's that's the thing. That's why I'm like,
But you know, there's always gonna be a little bit
It's a loose story when your ride's really just a roller coaster. I respect that they added as much into the story as they did.
This is what I like about it. They've kind of like they made it a much simpler story and much easier to follow. Like you can if you go on a quiet day and you get in line for the attraction and you only wait like 5 minutes, you'll still pick the story up. Whereas before with the old cartoon, you had to invest an amount of time watching the video in line to get the background story of it. Not that there was much of one, but still, like I like how they've thought about that, and you can pick up on the story reasonably quickly without it being too much of an issue.
Yeah, and as Rhino kind of mentioned, it is at the end of the day it is just a roller coaster, so it's nice that they have a story at all whenever they technically don't need to. That's just a little bit of that universal magic that gets thrown around in there that I appreciate. And so obviously the launch does feel like a smoother process. It feels more.
How does it launch? Is it like Rock and Roller Coaster? How that's like slingshot,
or is it? So you start moving up the launch tube, and you're just kind of going.
Just slowly,
almost as if it was a chain lift.
Yeah.
Before then, once you're about halfway up the launch tube, that's whenever it actually shoots you off. And the reason we're explaining this to Rhino is because he has never done the Incredible Hulk coaster in either form, the old one or the new one. He will do it.
I actually thought of you when I went on it. It's so smooth and so easy to ride. You'll love it. I promise.
Yeah, I would do it right now while it is still smooth before it starts.
We'll see how many drinks it takes. I never thought I'd do Dragon Challenge, and I fulfilled my
density.
I popped my density.
Yeah.
And I went on that. So.
No, I know. I know you did. And I was very proud of you.
To go on that too, but.
And the soundtrack, the Patrick Stump soundtrack. That was added on.
Does he sing?
No. This is what we found out from them. They got in touch with him to do the music. He said sure. And I would not call this a rock soundtrack by any means. He went out and he got the Prague Symphony to help out to do the orchestration on it. And it is I don't know the way to describe it. It's very It's an epic superhero score that is very symphonic.
Interesting.
It does have the guitars. It's got violins. It's got the Hulk's here.
The Hulk's are coming. We got to hurry up. Hulk's
are coming. I think it works perfectly with it. If we didn't know that it was Patrick Stump doing it, I would have never said that the lead singer of Fall Out Boy had a hand in this. It actually shows that he is probably more talented than he leads himself on to be with his band.
Well, they had that hit Ghostbusters. They did the new Ghostbusters theme song that we love so much.
I have enjoyed songs from them recently.
Fall Out Boy?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Not that one, though. Not that one.
I'm trying to check. Make sure that wasn't lightning. Sorry.
I can't say enough good things for it. I really think if you're a lot of people describe this as probably the best coaster in Orlando, which and maybe I don't know about Florida because Busch Gardens has so many good ones. I haven't been able to get on Mako yet. So I can't really
judge on that. Outing someday.
Yeah.
I haven't been there since I was like 12 years old.
I haven't, but if you're sticking in the Disney Universal bubble and you're not going outside that, Hulk probably now with this updated track and everything they've added, I would securely and firmly say that it is probably the best coaster between both there. It's thrilling. It's not for everyone, obviously, but it's a heck of a ride. It's good.
Yeah, really is. I was so impressed. You can just the smoothness of it is so... Oh, I can't get over how much they've improved it just by replacing the track and the cars. It's so good. And the headlights as well. Whereabouts did you sit, Craig, when you were riding it?
I sat in row one.
Oh, you did? So. Okay, so I sat in row two, so I got a good like view of the headlights. And I actually rode at night, because that's when I rode. Yeah. And it's a huge, huge improvement. Like
That's what I've heard. It's better at night.
Yeah.
I only got to ride in the morning. So I was, as I said before, I was there as part of the press event. So this was way back in the day. The days of June, that is. You might have heard me say that I was supposed to go to a Kong media event. Well, that got canceled because of the tragedy that happened in Orlando, and that ended up getting pushed till actually yesterday. They started taking around groups who wanted to see not only King Skull Island, Reign of Kong, as well as the Incredible Hulk and a little bit of Sapphire Falls. So that's why I was there for it yesterday, and they put us in the front. And if you follow Attractions Magazine, Banks Lee on Facebook, you've probably seen me in the picture that he's been pushing around with it, because we were front row buddies together whenever we rode yesterday morning. So I in the daytime it was great. I was blinded by the light once you come out of that launch tube after being in there so dark.
He was wrapped up like a...
He was blinded by the light.
Wrapped up like a thing. I don't want to say it.
In the middle of the night, blinded by the light.
I'm not aware of this song.
You don't know this song?
Don't know this song.
Oh, I can't sing the next part. It's got a bad word in it. Well, not a bad word, but I don't want to say it and get somebody get offended. It's a hygiene product.
Yeah. So, very happy with it. Very, very happy with it. Everyone go and check it out. You really need it. We'll play you the song afterwards, Oliver. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, so other than that, there wasn't much that came out of that event. So, I almost said Hong. I'm just sorry. I'm still thinking about that Kong dog.
Oh, that was a treat for the eyes. If anyone's not seen that, go and have a look at the thumbnail for the video.
We should just charge for the thumbnail.
Rhino. And it looks like it should be pay-per-view Rhino, actually. So,
I said when we went out for that hot dog, I was like, this is what I want the thumbnail to be. And he said, no. And then during the video, he was like, let's do it. And I was like, it's happening.
I love that everyone's ripping you apart right now because it's Deuce.
Oh, whoops. I've been singing it wrong for a long time.
Everyone's making fun of you.
It's cool. Whatever, guys. I kept it clean.
It's fine.
Either way. See what I did there? Because the thing was...
Yep. Everyone sees it.
Okay. No, the word I was saying... Okay.
Yeah, I know. We know.
We're all on the same page.
Have you guys seen
now?
Wet Hot American Summer?
Yes.
The movie?
Yes.
So there's a scene where kid gets called that, and he goes, as a is a cleanly product, therefore I take it as a compliment.
Nothing else really happened at the event. Got to talk with Mike West from Universal Creative a little bit about Kong. We have clarity now. I made the mistake of saying the word animatronic. I think someone else did before me, too, and I forgot. But
is it not an animatronic?
We are now to only refer to Universal robotic figures as animated figures.
Really? Is that that's a new thing? Or is animatronics like all right, you know, little R circle for Disney?
It is not an animatronic.
Animated figures.
Animated figures. They have animated figures.
Okay.
All right. Sure.
Yeah, that was the big news to respond from there. Got to ride Kong again with that, though, and enjoyed it. I was on...
Did you like it more or less the second time?
I enjoyed it more because, A, everyone in my car was quiet. They weren't all talking the entire time.
Those people.
So I could actually hear...
hear what the driver was saying, the story? Oh, did you have a different driver?
Yes, I did. I had Will Denham, who is the nephew of Carl Denham. Of course, in Skull Island or in King Kong, Peter Jackson's King Kong, Carl Denham is Jack Black's character.
Oh,
so that's where he told us that the story behind Will Denham is that he was working with the 8th Expedition Company on Skull Island, driving people around. And that's whenever, you know, they go through everything and they encounter Kong. And so he kind of says, as the ride's closing out, he's like, oh, something along the lines of, I can't wait to tell my uncle about this. And so that's where it's prompting that Will Denham is going to tell Carl Denham about Skull Island and King Kong.
So this is a prequel to King Kong.
Interesting.
Well, I don't know if you saw it, but did you see the, I'm going to ask you, the trailer for Kong Skull Island?
I did.
The movie.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so they just released the trailer for that movie that's coming out next summer with Tom Hiddleston.
Hiddleston.
And Brie Larson as well. And that one takes place during the 70s, and they're going to Skull Island. I'm not sure whether it stays in continuity of the other one, like if they're acknowledging that the other movie happened in like the 30s or whenever it
was. No, this is completely separate.
So this is like a re-origin story in the 70s instead of in the...
From what I understand, yeah, because first...
Well, this is the lead-in to the Godzilla versus Kong.
Well, first and foremost, Kong is like absolutely massive. In this one, you see him just briefly
in the movie trailers. Yeah, well, the skull, and you can see this, they're on the skull in the trailer too.
Much King Kong, if you've seen the Peter Jackson one, you know, it's big, but not like towering over you. The new King Kong in this one is going to be just absolutely ginormous.
Yeah,
but it has to be absolutely ginormous in order to take on Godzilla. So
the shared universe is that the company that is like sponsoring the people, they mention it in the Godzilla movie, is that Moth, I forget what the company's called, but it's basically like the same company that sponsors this expedition. And I'm like, I don't like that. I was hoping for a stronger connection than just one company that's in there. It's kind of like how all J.J. Abrams movies have that whale company in it. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Not a clue.
In Cloverfield, it was the word that it was on the thing. It means whale. I don't, and but it's in like Japanese or something like that. It's in Lost. It's in this movie. It's in every movie. The corporation. Mm. My gosh, it's bugging the crap out of me now. I can't remember this. I used to say it all the time. Are you looking up the Godzilla thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the.
I'm curious just to see like. It's cool that they did the ride, and it'll be nice to see. I'm sure they'll do some sort of fun little something to promote the movie in the park, since it is a Universal. It's not a Universal film, is it? It was Universal, but they had to hand it over to Warner Brothers because Legendary's partnered with Warner Brothers in order to make this shared universe of King Kong and Godzilla. Excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what expedition company you're talking about. I mean,
I read
was,
it in the description.
I mean, Mothra, that was a
not Mothra.
Easter
no,
egg
I,
in
no,
yeah. Godzilla to...
Yeah, to the monster Mothra. No, no. It was like a secret organization, and they only like mention it briefly, and...
Yeah, it's a new distinct timeline, though, for sure, so nothing to do at all. So excited, though. Samuel L. Jackson. I keep saying to myself, when's the last time we've had a good Samuel L. Jackson movie?
Well, I feel like he puts out at least 3 a month.
When's the last time we've had a good John Goodman movie?
And they're playing King Kong Godzilla. It was announced that the film script have references to the secret government entity in the 2014 film Godzilla named Monarch Butterfly. That's where I was getting Mothra from.
Oh, Monarch. Okay. Okay. Sorry. I got you now. So, yeah.
Anyway,
just works out perfectly because
movie stuff for everybody.
You know,
sorry.
Despite the fact that it is not a Universal movie coming up, everyone is still going to Universal's still going to benefit off the fact that Warner Brothers and Legendary are making this movie together.
Oh yeah,
so
for sure.
Thumbs up for that. So before we go, I just want to pose a quick question to you out there, Rhino.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
did you cue that on purpose?
Very,
or you're going to ask me a scary question.
So, this is just a random one. Do you see anything from Harry Potter and the Cursed Child being able to make its way into Universal Orlando?
I honestly thought about this while I was reading it too, because the thing about Harry Potter and the Cursed Child parts 1 and 2 is that they don't
cursed.
The cursed child. They don't actually go anywhere new. Mm-hmm. It is this not in solely probably because it's a stage production. They, you know, they have to kind of keep with iconography that's already been established in the Potterverse that is very recognizable both in the book and in the films. And so I don't actually know that there's nothing really new in the books that you could bring into like the parks or even merchandise necessarily. Like there is a new Time Turner, but that's, I don't know. You have, nobody in here has read it yet, but I mean, other than it revisiting some areas like Godric's Hollow or something like that, mm-hmm. I could think that they would maybe eventually maybe put an area like that, a little rural area that has like the gravestones and the, you know, cause that's where, Harry's parents, met their demise at the hands of Lord Voldemort. And, it's also where, the woman who was had the snake in her, I forget her name. Oh my gosh. I swear to God, I'm brain dead. I read it and then I forget. What? What are you smiling about?
Nothing.
Everybody knows there was a snake in her. It was in the seventh book in the movie. Bathilda Bagshot, is that it? Is that what I'm thinking of? You know, she lived there too. So I that would be kind of cool if they kind of revisited that. But the book mostly takes place, it's mostly at like Hogwarts. And if you want to check out my review of it and see a little bit of like, because we know nothing about what the book's about, there's literally no way to not give you any sort of a spoiler. So the review has some spoilers in it, and it'll tell you the plot and where it is and where it goes, but I don't ruin any major plot moments specifically.
Okay.
But I don't know. I what do you think? Well, you don't know because you haven't read it yet, so.
I haven't read it yet, so. But let's... I think
Fantastic Beasts has more. Yeah, I think with that being in America, with it establishing stuff maybe we haven't seen or known before, for sure. It's going to, like, you know, new creatures, new wands, like new places. You know, there's going to be a lot of stuff from that I'm sure they could work with. There's going to be three. Okay, first of all, sorry. I know you're about to say something, but what's really annoys me about this is a headline I keep reading where people are like, greenlit, or who are like, oh, sequel to Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Did people never pay attention to the original article that said this was three movies? J.K. Rowling wrote three movies. This is going to be three stories. They are all going to get made. The only new information that came out of that article was that David Yates is now directing the second movie, which means he's probably going to direct the third one as well.
I believe it's David Yates.
I don't know that that's true, but it just bugs me because like the articles are like, guess what? We're conjuring up a sequel, and it's just, oh my god, it's clickbait, and it drives me insane because it's just people that, can you not retain information? This is Harry Potter we're talking about here, or I should say, this is the Wizarding World. You do know that she said she's done with Harry Potter too.
I did,
right?
I saw that.
Isn't that depressing?
You cried about it.
I did.
It's okay.
Cry.
You're allowed
I put
to.
Tears in my.
Well, just like that, 2:00 on the dot, and we have the official announcement of Krampus.
There we go. Glad we drew this out.
I'm glad we did. No, that worked out perfectly. I can't wait to watch the little teaser video they put together.
We can guarantee right now we're the first podcast to break this story. I can tell you that right now. Too officially.
That's the benefits of sometime going live out here like that. So I enjoy that. So let's summarize on everything we talked about today. Krampus is officially announced as a Halloween Horror Nights house, which will be the best one ever. They should keep it all the way through Christmas, if I have any say in it. I have no say in it. You need to get out there and ride the Incredible Hulk coaster. Mm-hmm. It is amazing now. Do it, do it, do it. Don't wait. Number three, go ride Kong 2. Why not? And make up your mind later about whether or not you want to... see the new Skull Island movie that's coming out that's actually by Warner Brothers. I was just joking. John Goodman is good in pretty much every single thing he does.
If you haven't seen 10 Cloverfield Lane, you should see that movie.
It was a joke.
Immediately.
That's it. And finally, screw Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. We don't need anything from that. Let's just wait for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Rude.
There we go. So that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for participating in the conversation.
Thank you.
It was an okay one. And thank you to everyone out there who watched and listened to this. We really do appreciate it. I promise you. I'm not lying every time I say that. If I was lying to you, I would say something else. Done it before.
I'd give you a better lie.
I am. I'd give you a better lie. Say wow. You guys mean I can't even finish it. Can't do it. Can't do it at all. But no, we really do appreciate it. So, of course, as always, if you liked what you're watching, hit that thumbs up button below. If you're listening to this and you want to let us know what's happening with that, or if you like what you're talking about, I'm sorry, I got a text message. I'm like, what's happening with that? Yeah. All of a sudden, that's how my brain works. Definitely leave us feedback on iTunes, too. We always love it for the recent episodes, not for the old ones. Still said that before. Thank you. Make sure you're following us on social media, disunplug.com. That's where our show notes are for everything on all of our shows that we do and everything we support, follow, blah, blah, blah. You've heard this crap before. You know where to find us. And we are still accepting people as contributors to the Universal site. So if you have some Universal articles in mind, please go follow the link in the show notes to sign up to be a contributor, and maybe one of your articles will be published on our site. So that's going to do it for this episode. We will be back with you again next week for another one. Not live, though, probably. Who knows? We'll see what happens for that. But yes, that's going to do it. So I need to hear that music, or otherwise we're going to keep playing.
The resolution.
Resolution.
Sound too long, Connor?